Welcome to a Listen to Older Voices Golden Moments program. I'm brought to you through the Toorak Times. This is a repeat program from our archives that we believe has merit enough to rebroadcast so that the story and the person's life can be shared with those who may have missed it the first time. This is Rob Greaves, and thank you for joining me for the third and final part of the life and times of 86-year-old Olive Nichols on Listen to Older Voices. If you missed any of the previous two programs, here's a summary. Born during the Great Depression, Olive was able to recall just how the family survived those difficult years through self-sufficiency, a message that is very relevant to today's recession. Olive recalled how fortunate she was to be born during the halcyon days of radio and the development of television. On turning 19, Olive joined the Navy to assist in the war effort. We learned that she married Keith, who was also in the Navy. Having been forced to resign and becoming pregnant, Olive concentrated on her family, but eventually became a personal assistant for Dorothy Crawford during the great years of Crawford Productions. Now, in the twilight of her years, and with Keith having passed on, Olive completes her recollections, her journey, from her early years to the present. She reminisces about the family, and returns briefly to her early years, and in doing so, completes the story as it is up till now for us and herself. We pick up with Olive talking about her cooking abilities and her life with Keith and her family in Ulla Dulla.
In fact, my husband used to pay me the greatest compliments, you know. He used to say, yeah, we had the best Chinese restaurant on the South Coast. But no, I do like that. That's what I miss here, cooking and gardening, you know.
So you retired to that area?
Up to Mollymook. Mm. And then our son was posted away from Nowra to Darwin. And we came back to the peninsula. We had a lot of friends on the peninsula. And Keith said to me, what's the matter? You're miserable as a bandicoot. Why, poor bandicoots? He said, do you want to go back to Victoria? And I said, oh, would you? He said, yes. I always came up here thinking, well, we didn't have to stay forever. And the climate was lovely. Mm. And we used to walk from our home, Hilltop Crescent, and you look down on that. And you'd have to go down to the beach in the mornings because the wind, howl and gale, would get up by lunchtime. The sand cut you to pieces. Mm. But no, before we got too settled up there, I think we were there for about 2 years. And we came back to, Keith said I'd go back to the lakes because he had a lot of relatives in Gippsland. His family came from Gippsland. And or else the Mornington Peninsula. So we came back to Mornington Peninsula.
Well, I noticed while you were talking, there's some things up here from Rosebud.
Rosebud. Keith was a foundation member of the Rosebud Probus Club. He was the president. This was sent to me a few weeks ago. That's his certificate from there. And
25th anniversary of all the presidents.
Now, this was my cousin's husband who read the eulogy at Keith's funeral because he filled the bill as a relative, as a Probus member, and 1992 he was president there. But it's thoroughly recommend when you retire.
Well, when you come back around to the microphone, I'll ask you why.
Why
is it recommended to join Probus? Well, let's get back to the microphone before you answer.
Yes, right.
You were saying, Olive, that when I retire, I should join Probus. Why? What is so good about Probus?
Probus started off Professional and Business Men's Association.
Right.
That's where it got its name. Then they extended to having ladies Probus clubs. Some clubs have combined for a long while, but your interests are different, and the guest speakers. Most Probus clubs meet once a month. I've just recently resigned from local probus, because I don't have a car now and I don't know as many. I was in Healesville Ladies Probus when we came over here in 94. We moved over to be closer to the family here, and we were in one of the units that was down on the highway, and we were there for 6 years, and I went back to the peninsula. But most of the people that I knew in Probus when we were over here had passed away or
moved
I didn't
on.
Know.
Yes, yes.
So it's only a matter of a few weeks ago that I've resigned from Probus. But no, it's interesting. It's there's no class distinction. Everybody's equal. You have social activities, guest speakers. It's doesn't cost the earth. You don't have to go to, there's no compulsion to go to outings. Up here, when we lived here previously, the men's probus used to run theatre nights down at Lilydale at the Live Theatre. And we used to meet at, oh dear, where? Chernside Park Country Club, and have dinner there. And a great long table, you know. That's a lovely place to go for a meal. And it's nice and quiet, and there's always plenty of parking, which is a thing, you know.
Mm. Oh, yes.
And anyway, you know, each club runs their things their own way.
Yes.
I first joined Ladies Probus down at Rosebud. I'm a firm believer that you should serve on the committee for at least a year. You can't expect everybody to do things for you, you know, for you to enjoy without pulling your weight.
That's often the problem with lots of organisations, yes, isn't it? Nobody wants to do the work to keep them together.
Yeah, so I chose outings because that was interesting to me. And sometimes you didn't get enough people interested in that. Well, so you didn't.
So be it.
That was...
Far away places with strange sounding names, far away over the sea. Those far away places with strange sounding names are calling, calling me. Go into China or maybe Siam. I want to see for myself those far away places I've been reading about in a book that I took from a shelf. I start getting restless whenever I hear the whistle of a train. I pray for the day I can get underway and look for those castles in Spain. Oh, they call me a dreamer. Well, maybe I am, but I know that I'm burning to see those far away places with strange sounding names calling. Holland.
and you've tuned into Listen to Older Voices, featuring the life and times of older Australians. And this is the third and final part of the life and times of Olive Nichols.
No, it's great because particularly I think a lot of the Probus members up here are on their own, and there's a group here. They call themselves the Phoenix Club because after you've lost your partner, life...
You've got to grow it again, that's right.
Yes,
talking of which, how long ago did Keith pass on?
2 years Anzac Eve.
2 years, so it's not that long ago.
2 years ago.
No, it was unexpected?
No, it was kind of... First of all, he had abdominal cancer.
Oh, okay.
And still... debating about this asbestos thing because he was in the engine room and the steam pipe lagging, but it can't bring him back. So
no,
it's not worth it.
But you're always going to have your suspicions.
Yeah. And anyway, out of the blue, he'd while we were living on the peninsula, the doctor down there diagnosed this abdominal cancer. Inoperable because of the location of it. And from there he then had dementia, and that's when he had to give up driving.
Yes.
Of course. And this is why we, my elder daughter, the one in pathology, rang me one day and she said, will you come over and stay at my place for a few nights and go and look at a couple of places? She said, I've had a patient in who's doing a rave about a hostel at Croydon, Tarala. And she said, it'll be a lot closer for us to see you. So we went to Tarala. That's very much bigger than this and much more regimented and no variation on menu or anything. If you can't eat or don't like or whatever, they'll always do something else for you, you know. This is the nearest thing to being in your own home.
We're talking about Monda.
Monda,
yes.
Yes. They do all your washing. I do my own little footlet things, you know. And it's just, you know, a good place to be. But getting back to Probus, no, you have outings sometimes, nearly always. There's a trip each year for 3 or 4 days, either interstate or... It's just...
So it's social support, it's social entertainment, yes.
And your friends.
And friends, yes.
And,
do friends mean more to you as you're getting older, or is it always the same feeling?
See, both my daughters work. Both their marriages have failed.
Mm-hmm.
My elder daughter's marriage finished in divorce. I could see it coming. The day she told us, I said, oh, I've been expecting it for a while. And she said, oh, somebody else had said that. So anyway, no, I was amazed at, that's Heather and her husband. Mm-hmm. And that's taken in the hospital. Where? Up the hill.
Oh, yeah. I've lost orientation too, but I know where you mean, yes.
Yes, Andrew was born up there. Saskia... Oh, the little one in the pink there, and the little one in Heather's arm here, is about to have her 21st birthday.
Oh, goodness.
And she's 5'9", and that's the two grandkids that are up here. And I've got two granddaughters, great-granddaughters up here.
Goodness, do you see much of them?
Not very much. Saskia now is at tertiary. She's doing physiotherapy. Andrew's in his final year because the high school down here had no discipline in the classroom, so they took the kids away from there and sent them to Mount Lilydale.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe there's a new principal down here now and things are different.
So yes.
So anyway, Andrew will be finishing it. Saskia, as I say, is doing physiotherapy. I don't know what Andrew's got ambitions to do. His father's in youth work, as Heather was. In fact, my son-in-law was engaged by Heather as her assistant at Eltham when Heather was a youth worker over there.
And you've tuned into Listen to Older Voices, featuring the life and times of older Australians.
Our time's nearly up, Olive.
Yes.
A couple of things I would like to just raise with you. First of all, it's quite obvious you've had quite an amazing life and it spanned many years. Mm-hmm. When you look back over your life, what's probably the greatest change that you've seen in life in general?
Well, I think years ago there used not to be hostels like this is. You lived with your family, which isn't a good idea, I don't think. You need your independence to do what you want to do, and they shouldn't be burdened with always having to consider. I suppose it is my grandmother lost her sight and lived with my parents, and I think there's more provision made for people that can look after themselves. I mean, a lot of the people here can't. They have to be shared.
Indeed.
But I have a very independent life. And
has it been a good life?
It's been a great life. Mm-hmm. Despite the war years, life was different. But you learnt to look at things differently.
Yes.
Mm.
And there must be still more challenges for you, Olive. You were telling me earlier you still need to learn how to use your recorder here.
I've got to get myself organised and then learn to use the recorder.
Surely the staff here would have time to show you.
Heather's written it down, so it's just I'm too impatient.
Too impatient. Look, I think you've earned the right to be a little bit impatient. I mean, honestly.
Yes.
You've been through some really big changes, though, in your life, yes, really, haven't you? From a period where, to listen to radio, you went
pre-radio,
next door. That's right, yes.
Headphones, yes.
That's right.
And now with TV and
and global communications, yeah, everything that happens right around the world, you know immediately, don't you?
My first flight was in an Air Force plane up to Sydney.
Your first flight was?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would have been something amazing because that wouldn't have been luxurious.
DC-3, no seats like that. It was a park bench round, no lining in the plane.
No.
That was just before I was married. I was going up to stay with a relative in Sydney. God, I was seasick. And a little English sailor, a survivor from the Jupiter, sort of looked after me, took me under his wing and went and bought a bottle of soda water when we landed. And
it's a flight you've never forgotten.
That's right. Yes, it's rather nice when you get in a plane now and you're all coddled up.
Things have changed a lot.
Certainly, but then service aircraft.
Yeah, that's right.
And then you didn't cost a cracker.
Well, that's the other side of the coin, isn't it?
Yes,
that's right.
Yes, because I went into the transport officer in Sydney and I said, I want to book for two. I said, unless my husband can come with me, I'm not going to fly home. I thought I'd get on a train because those troop trains were another story. It was all the carriages were stripped out and there were three rows of bunks. Just a bit like an ambulance. Have you ever been inside an ambulance?
Yes.
Yes, right.
So they didn't have seats. They had, like, platforms to lay on.
Mm-hmm. Because you slept overnight you travelled.
Of course.
I always went for the middle one.
Why the middle one?
Because you can control the window. Ah. It's my Scottish ancestry. A canny Scot.
A canny Scot indeed.
Yes.
As you know, there's a legend throughout the world that the Scots are supposed to be tight-fisted. And one man alone probably was responsible for this, the late, great Sir Harry Lauder. You know the kind of jokes he used to tell? A Scotsman running down the street with his mouth open because somebody told him there was a nip in the air. I love my lassie, a bonny, bonny lassie. She's as pure as the lily in the dell. She's as sweet as the heather, the bonny blooming hair. Mary Muscat, come on everybody, sing it now. Oh, I love my lassie, a bonny, 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 bonny lassie. She's as pure as the lily in the dell. She's as sweet as the heather, the bonny bloomin' heather, Mary Muscat's bluebell. I've seen lots of bonny lassies travelling far and wide, but my heart is set up now on bonny Kate McBride. And although I'm not a man that gives a lot away, I've been quite surprised myself at all I've had to see when we go roaming in the gloaming on the bonny banks of Clyde. Roaming in the gloaming with my lassie by my side. When the sun has gone to rest, that's the time that I love best. Oh, it's lovely roaming in the glow. Come on, let me hear you now this time. Roaming in the gloaming on the bonny banks of Clyde. Roaming in the gloaming with a lassie by my side. When the sun has gone to rest, that's the time that I love best. Oh, it's lovely roaming in the gloaming. Every road is a long, long road full of joy and sorrow too. As you journey on, how your heart will yearn for the things most dear to you. With love and wealth to sow, but on what we must go. Come on now, keep right on to the end of the road. Keep right on to the end. Though the way be long, let your heart be strong. Keep right on around the bend. And though you're tired and weary, still journey on till you come to your happy abode. When all your blood and your grief
And this is Listen to Older Voices, Ageless Stories on Ageless Radio.
And they would have been stripped right down with everything then. There would have been no luxuries at all in those trip trains, would there?
Yeah, no, just a mattress on the shelf.
And a very thin mattress, I would imagine.
And many's the time when if Keith and I were both travelling back to Sydney together, we'd go on what was called the 4:15. That was an ordinary train, and because the 1 o'clock or whatever it was, the troop train, and you used to get out at Albury and change train because different gauges.
That's right. Yeah. Yes.
And I often slept on the floor.
Right.
On 4:15, you just spread newspapers down and.
Yep.
And you had a pillow. And
did what you had to do.
That's right.
Yes.
I think I rolled undies up or something and jumpers in a pillowcase. Well, just that was my pillow.
Yep.
Yes. Anyway, it's different.
These days, people just don't realise what they've got.
No. And it's good to see the cruise liners back. But I'm a poor sailor.
Me too.
Yeah, on the old days of the old bay steamers, I can remember my grandfather laughed at me being seasick going down to Geelong.
Well, that's why the bay doesn't get that rough.
On the way back, Papa was seasick. Yes, he had to eat humble pie that day.
Look, it's good that you've got all these things to have a laugh at.
Yes, that's right. And anyway, I'm just so lucky to have the family I've got.
Yes.
And
important to you, isn't it?
Very. Then you can have friends, but you've got always family. Yeah, and my granddaughter, one that's going to be 21 next week after, she is such a delightful girl. Her grandfather was Polish and her grandmother was English, and those English girls that did their own work through the day and went and did voluntary work at hospitals at night, and that's where Mildred met Marianne.
Oh, okay.
And eventually married him, and then they came to Australia.
If you were to give a message to young people today about life, what would you say to them?
Well, there's always somebody worse off than yourself.
So stop complaining?
Mm. Get on with it.
Olive, that's probably a great place for us to stop. Thank you very much for being on Listen to Older Voices. Listen to Older Voices is produced by Rob Greaves at the Melbourne Community Support Program on behalf of Wesley Mission Victoria. The program is supported by financial assistance from the Commonwealth Government through the Commonwealth Home Support Program and is brought to you through the Toorak Times.